All right, we will turn back to one of our top stories for the press review now. That's France seeing another day of national strikes across the country. Hundreds of thousands protesting the pension reforms, which will see the retirement age raised from 62 to 64. And then the use of the controversial Article 49.3, which saw it pushed through without a vote. For more on this, our press reviewer, Leo McGuinn, joins us. Leo, what is the French press reaction to yet another day, a 10th day, in fact, of strikes?
Yes, Erin, another day of strikes in France. And as you say, we're into double figures now, a 10th day of national strikes across the country. As you can imagine, it's all over the French newspapers this morning. This is the more left-leaning Libération. They have a group of young people on the front, call them Generation 49.3. That's, of course, a reference to Article 49.3, which pushed through the reforms to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64 without a vote. And according to Libération, since that article was pushed through, the youth movement has been massive in the country and more young people are turning out at these protests. If we move to the centre and look at Le Monde, they ask, what does this crisis say about Macronism? And some of Macron's even most fervent supporters are starting to lose faith in the president. If we look inside, it's actually a similar story to Libération. They say, yeah, the protest numbers were down, but the youth numbers were up. There was only 750,000 people out protesting yesterday, compared to over a million last time out. But it's hard to quantify the amount of young people out on the streets, but they do talk of the tense atmosphere and how some are even scared of the police. And if we look right to Le Figaro, it's a similar headline, just without the younger people. They say that the protests are running out of steam. The mobilisation is weakening. They do admit that President Macron, who's refusing all mediations, he's under huge amounts of pressure.
Now, Leo, these protests are not just making headlines here in France. What has the international reaction been?
Yeah, if we look at the New York Times, they have this. They say France is caught in a tense impasse. They focus on how the protests have taken on a more violent edge in the past few weeks. With Macron, he's in a difficult position of trying to smooth things over, also trying to push forward with these pension reforms. If we look at the Financial Times, actually makes the front page here. You can see a protester amongst the tear gas. Inside, they have an opinion piece about Laurent Berger, who is, of course, the Secretary General of the CFDT, one of the biggest unions here in France. And according to Financial Times, he is the key man to stopping this crisis. He's actually had a friendship or a relationship with President Emmanuel Macron for over 10 years now, a relationship that's cooled off over the past few years. But according to this piece, if Macron has any chance of returning the country to order, that relationship needs to be reignited.
Moving to the U.S. now, Leo, where Monday's school shooting in Nashville was the 89th of the year. Leo, how have the U.S. papers responded to the latest in a long list of tragedies?
Erin, as you say, Nashville's deadly attack made it 89 school shootings this year. That's more than one a day. It's a familiar scene across many of the country's newspapers. We'll look at the Washington Post. They have this opinion piece. They gather opinions from all over the country. They have a similar theme. They're all bemoaning a lack of action, still no change. They say the coverage that follows the tragedy, they say, is becoming all too routine. Contributors ask for many things throughout this article, but the recurring one seems to be a complete ban on assault rifles, which brings us to this from the Washington Post. They talk about the blast effect, how bullets tear the body apart. Bullets from the AR-15. Just to warn you, some of these images are a little bit disturbing. 3D images showing the effects of the bullet, you can see here, entering the body and how it can tear the skin apart. And then another one here, how it goes all the way through the flesh. The article ends actually with this chilling message. You can see here, the gun is the weapon. The AR-15 is the weapon of choice for many mass killers. It works with brutal efficiency.
We'll go across to the United Kingdom now and to an apology issued by The Guardian. What's this all about?
Yeah, if we look at the front page of The Guardian, you can see that The Guardian owners are apologising for founders' links to slavery. So the Scott Trust is the current owner of The Guardian, and they've announced a 10-year restorative justice programme. They commissioned research in 2020, which found that Guardian founder John Edward Taylor and at least 9 of his 11 funders when he founded The Guardian had links to slavery through the textile industry. The research found that Taylor had links to plantations off the coast of Georgia and South Carolina, and also one of his main funders, George Phillips, owned a plantation and actually tried to get gain compensation from the British government, as well as apologising for this. They've also apologised for early editorial positions that supported the cotton industry and therefore slavery as a whole. And the Scott Trust has said that it's expected to invest more than 11 million euros in this programme, with millions dedicated specifically to descendant communities linked to the founders of The Guardian.
We'll change pace now, Leo. People might soon have the chance to eat some 3,000-year-old meat. It doesn't sound too appetizing, at least not to me. Tell us more about it.
If you put it like that, it doesn't sound too appetizing, no. But this is the news that an Australian firm, as we can see here in the Times, they've managed to unbelievably make a mammoth meatball. Basically, the whole aim of this project is to demonstrate the potential of meat grown from cells and stopping animals from being slaughtered. There are companies working on replacements for conventional meat, such as pork and beef and chicken. But this company, Val, who made the mammoth meatball, they want to try more unconventional meats. The way they recreated it is look, it's a bit too complicated for me to quite understand, but I'll try and tell you about it. They essentially took the DNA sequence from a mammoth, filled in the gaps using elephant DNA. No one yet has tasted this mammoth meatball, so I can't quite tell you what it tastes like, Aaron. I wouldn't be against tasting it, and I don't think it could be much worse than what we have in the canteen here.
So. I'll let you try that out, Leo, because I certainly will not. Leo McGuinn with the Press Review. Thank you very much.